Rock.
Yeah.
Pete.
Hey.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
Now our transformation into a crappy one-up yours wannabe is complete.
Are you calling me a crap knockoff of my brother?
No.
Oh, God. So what does that make me, Garnett?
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for March 27th, 2009. Oh man, it's going to be a fun show today, guys.
Yes, indeed.
I've got some of my favorite people here.
Aww.
Not counting AJ.
Hey.
But first off, we have Chris, Rock God,
Whittington.
Whittington.
Thanks. Fucking up my
I get your name and Gage's name mixed up. They're similar.
It's pretty close, yeah. Hey, hi everybody in internet land. It's good to talk to
you. Hi, Rock. Yeah, this is really exciting. First time we got Rock on, and also first time we have Pete Angry Jedi Davidson on.
Hello.
Hey, yo. Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Pete turned down my offer to come live with me and be my English butler today.
I'm sorry your hopes and dreams have been crushed.
Apparently he would not accept my no-pay stipulation.
Well, the offer of raiding your fridge was very tempting.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I got to tell you, that job offer sounded a lot better than some of the other ones that he was getting on Facebook. Which we won't mention here.
Yeah. Anyways, also we have a Ustream?
Well,
a Ustream going on right now.
I jailbroke my iPhone this week, and you can get a Ustream app that lets you just broadcast live video from your iPhone. So, hi, if you're watching.
Well, I know no one. Oh, no, we have a fourth viewer. Who the hell is this?
Who are you? Reveal yourself.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. Who could this possibly be?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I'm very excited right now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is... Okay. We have such a busy show. There's no time for screwing around.
I know. Right. Let's go.
Everyone, get serious. God, GDC. Why does this news list not look that big?
Because it's GDC,
because it's
man.
Mostly discussion. I just wrote on live. That's going to be 20 minutes.
Oh, I don't want to talk about on live. Okay, fine. This is big stuff here. Okay. So we have the news. We have all this GDC shit to talk about. Very exciting stuff. Then we're going to move on to Game of the Year 1992, which is another ridiculous year. God, we're going to have a hard time with this one. Then we have the Great American Agile Gaming Quiz, once again inspired by the games from 1992. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to talk about our week in gaming. We'll all hit up what we've been playing. And then we're going to move on to the downloadable game releases, the weekly game releases. There's no top 10 list this week, so that'll be the whole show right after that.
All right.
So we'll be
news.
We'll be full. So why don't you start us off with this first news item, which looks incredibly uninteresting. Go.
It makes me extremely happy.
Does it?
Yes, because Logitech is releasing a universal remote adapter for the PS3.
Oh, thank God.
It doesn't take up a USB slot because like the PS3 uses Bluetooth remotes and not infrared, and I have like that really awesome universal remote. So they haven't said exactly. This is what I'm guessing it does, is it receives the IR signal from the remote and then sends out a Bluetooth signal to the PS3. Awesome, awesome for me. So I just want to say yay.
Rock, what are your thoughts on this?
Moving on.
What? Who?
Oh, very what? Funny. Okay.
This is great. It's so much better that I'm not just ripping on Asgai by myself anymore.
Okay, this is pertinent now. Now that I've had my moment. Okay, there's an update to Battle.net that was launched last week. And it's actually really sweet because you can now go to Battle.net.com, create a universal login for all of your Blizzard games, put in your CD keys or your World of Warcraft account and register them. And what's really awesome is if you put in your CD keys for older games like StarCraft or Diablo 2, it gives you like a new digital CD key and you could download the client from their website, which is awesome because when my house got robbed, they stole my copies of Diablo 2 and StarCraft, but I still had the CD keys, so I was able like to re-download everything.
You shouldn't have let your house get robbed.
Well, I know this now.
Well, okay, I have a question, and this is, you guys may not be able to answer it, but I bought StarCraft, I want to say, in 98, and I did register with Battle.net like a long time ago, and I doubt that I even still use the same email address that I used to create the account, so think I, if I tried to log back into Battle.net, I'll be able to access my copy again.
The in-game Battle.net actually deletes your account after 3 months of inactivity, I found out. But like this is like Battle.net 2.0, basically.
Oh, okay.
It's not completely tied into the older games. This will be in like StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3, and World of Warcraft is transitioning to it. But like if you take that old CD key and put it into the Battle.net 2.0 website, it'll recognize it.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's really. I have like this little virtual shelf of like all my Blizzard games. It's really cool. I don't know why I wrote this down now, but why not? Max Payne 3 is coming this winter. I don't know. Anyone excited about Max Payne?
Why? You had that freaking Logitech PS3 Universal Remotion, and you're like, maybe I shouldn't have put Max Payne 3 on there. Yeah, I'm excited about Max
okay,
Payne
3.
Well, I'm excited about the potential of playing as an old man, because that's what I am.
He does look a little grizzled in the teaser image they showed.
Yeah.
Grizzled is the new... He looks like Sam Fisher in that one... what was it? Conviction? Anyways, I don't know. Pete, do you like the Max Payne games?
Yeah, I do. I've spent a lot of time in them. It was the first game I played on the original Xbox, actually. So,
yeah,
I got a lot of fun memories of that.
Yeah, it's hard to remember that time when Bullet Time was like really exciting.
It was
new. And they made a whole game around it. And it was like, yeah,
it was a good
awesome.
Game. I played a little bit of the second one, but the first one was really good.
Yeah, I never really played the second one, but I like the name of the second one.
Second one was really good, actually. The second one had really good use of Havoc physics. There were lots of moments that were set up for you to shoot people into racks of shelves and stuff, and they'd all come tumbling down when someone flew into them. So that was really nice.
Yeah. Huh. You still dive all over the place in Bullet Time? With
yeah, pretty much.
Dual pistols?
Pretty much.
Okay, good.
All right, so the BioShock news flip-flopping continues. Last week we said how they were not using the Sea of Dreams subtitle. Well, apparently that was a bold-faced lie. It's back. So
that's
it is now BioShock 2 Sea of Dreams.
I feel like they shouldn't have it. So too many games want to have this subtitle for no reason. It's always kind of annoying. Because then things get confusing. Because look at all this shit going on with Call of Duty 4 and whatnot.
Yeah, because it was Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Then it was just Call of Duty World at War, no number. And now, by all accounts, it looks like the next one is just being called Modern Warfare 2, which I guess is better than Call of Duty 6 Modern Warfare 2.
Why not? Can't they at least... They had to have Call of Duty on there somewhere. People need to, you know... People don't think of Call of Duty 4 as Modern Warfare 1. They think of it as Call of Duty 4. Or Call of Duty, at least. I don't know. I think that might hurt them. But, I mean, probably not.
It's the same argument we had about The Dark Knight not having Batman.
That's
in the
a little
title.
Different.
A little, but
that's a bit different.
Yeah, but I mean, it almost looks like Infinity Ward are really trying to make a bigger name for themselves. You know, because if they can be known by the masses as the Modern Warfare team, that's pretty big. I mean, that's almost like synonymous with Bungie and Halo. You know, because yeah. I mean, personally, Call of Duty 4 is my favorite shooter. I mean. I haven't been able to play a game that's matched the feel, the controls, and I will actually pre-order this game, and I never pre-order games, but I'll pre-order this one.
Did you guys see the rumor that the original PC Call of Duty might be coming to XBLA and PlayStation Network?
Yeah. That's cool.
That's awesome if that happens, because that's a good game, and I feel like a lot of people didn't play it.
I have no use for really old shooters.
It's not. It's like 2003.
Too old.
Yeah, if you say so.
That's a game where the sequel is just blatantly like it but better.
It was still really good.
Nope. Don't care.
Okay.
Moving on.
The Left 4 Dead Survival Pack has been dated for April 21st. PC and 360, free on both. This is the patch that'll add the survival mode and versus mode to the two other campaigns that don't have it.
I actually played a little Left 4 Dead with Cyrenix the other day. He invited me to a massive 8-player versus game, which had this.
Okay, maybe you could answer me this then. A patch just came out this week. It adds melee fatigue. What exactly is that?
It's you can't do if you just can't spam that melee attack.
That's good.
Which because you know a lot of times if you get swarmed, basically this evens things out because it was a little hard. Really, for the infected to kind of win.
Is it just versus mode, do you know, or is it everything?
I do not know.
Because it just seemed like if you got, like, vomited on by a boomer, the strategy was just run to a corner and spam the melee button
until you
could see.
It was.
That's good.
Man, I was a complete idiot when I was playing with him. Because, like, I won't my headset.
Well, the guys he rolls with are very high-level players.
Right, but, well, I mean, because, like, it was like one of those things where, like, you're playing and then all of a sudden you're like, so you get a call from someone and you're like, oh God, what do I do? I have to leave. And I'm like, I got to go. And they're like, Tokoto, grab your med kit. And I'm like, no, you take it. And you're like, We all already have one. There's four of them. I was like, oh, damn it. I'm like, why aren't you talking anyway? So I'm trying to, like, type and, like, call someone and do all this. And I'm just, it's a mess. It was fun, though.
No, good.
Thank you. Sigh.
Also, after a brief tease from Bungie, Microsoft just flat out came out and confirmed it. The Halo 3 Mythic Map Pack will come out for general release on April 9th for $10. What was that?
I'm posing for the camera.
Oh, okay.
You set up a camera. I'm going to pose for it. You just keep doing your thing. Don't
okay,
worry.
Okay. So yeah. So if you didn't get the Halo Wars Collector's Edition or win a code online, this will be your chance to finally get it. So actually, Pete, your brother over at WhatThePlay.com did an interview with, I'm going to butcher this, Junichi Masuda, who is one of the main developers on Pokemon. And basically during this interview, they came out and said how there will never be a Pokemon MMO or console game. And the quote I pulled from the interview that kind of sums up his feelings on this is he says, "Trading is a core concept of Pokemon. So when you're trading, you meet with a friend and decide which one you want, which one they want. I would like to emphasize real-world communication. You don't see each other online." To me, this kind of ties into like that same reason why Monster Hunter on PSP doesn't have an online mode. Like, maybe that's like the cultural norm, I guess, in Japan, but it just seems like it makes more sense for the global markets to have bigger online Pokemon connectivity beyond what we saw in Pearl and Diamond.
It's going to happen someday. I don't care what this guy says.
Yeah.
Maybe not a full-blown MMO, but I mean,
I think that would be amazing if they did it.
Yeah, it would. And
I mean, you'd be friend codes up the wazoo, but...
Yeah, well, like, that's a problem, is the Pokemon MMO, as I picture it, is something I would never picture Nintendo doing.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
But someday, who knows? I mean, it's not like they need to radically rethink the Pokemon license right now. They're doing fine with it.
They got to, I don't know, did you guys listen to One Up Yours from the other day?
Yeah.
Listen Up, excuse me, when they got into their big Pokemon discussion.
Yeah.
Where they brought up a really good point where it's like the franchise does fine because every time a new one comes out, there's a new generation of kids who buy it. But it feels like it's starting to like lose kind of the older audience. And so like there's no growth to the franchise. It just kind of is staying where it is.
Well, when a franchise like that with those numbers stays where it is, though, it's doing
fine. I understand. It's just, I mean, the game is not fundamentally different from what it was in 1996.
I don't buy that because they haven't lost me and a lot of people I know still. I still buy every new generation Pokemon.
I think a lot of people buy them, but, like, I mean, I didn't finish Diamond.
Well, I did, so there. You barely finished any of them.
I finished all of them.
You want to feel bad, Mike? My son, who's 10, we went to the store, and even he would not buy Platinum. He was like, yeah, it's kind of the same thing.
I wouldn't buy Platinum now, I'm saying, but still.
Sure.
No, well, okay, I kind of
want
it.
You keep talking about wanting something for your DS. I won't be surprised.
I do want something for my DS, but there's a lot of good... There's that, there's...
GTA.
GTA, which... I do this every time. I'm like, I don't like GTA. I decide.
And then a new one comes out, and you're like, oh, I don't know.
And they're like, this one's pretty good for a DS game, and I look at those videos, like, oh, it looks kind of fun. Then I'll get it, and I'll be like, I do not like GTA.
Okay, guess what, Mike? Your thoughts on that are correct.
Really?
Yeah, I tried it this week. I'm not feeling it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm the same way.
Because we had Scribble on last week, right? And
he's liking it.
Yeah,
he might like GTA.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it as well. I'm not trying it myself yet, though.
Hmm. I'm more interested in getting Henry Hathsworth?
That's the other one I was going to bring up, because that one looks really interesting and different.
All right, well, you guys ready to dive into the GDC stuff proper?
Let's do it.
Let's do it!
Let's do it, man.
Let's start with the on-live announcement.
This is by far your most exciting thing, huh?
I am drinking the Kool-Aid heavily on this one. If and it's a big if this works, this changes a lot of stuff.
I'm incredibly skeptical. Why don't you do a little run-through
Wait, let's
what
give
it
the
is.
Rundown for people to understand. So it's basically cloud computing and server rendering of games.
Oh, that helps. If I didn't know what this was, that would help me.
I'm going to expand on that a bit. Give me a second. So basically, like, you could take any PC, like a crappy laptop from 2000, and what will happen is you'll, like, let's say you boot up Crysis, which is a super high-end game that only the top PCs could run in high settings in 720p. They have a rendering farm, basically, that will render the game and send the video of it to you while you play it. So rather than your computer rendering the game, this remote system is. And so it's taking your input, sending them to the server, inputting into the game, and then sending that video back to you. And they claim to have it to where it's working within microseconds. So the lag is not noticeable. And, I mean, we've heard of this concept before, and it's always been kind of sketchy sounding. The reasons I'm willing to buy into this a little bit more. For one, like, they've been doing this, working on this for 7 years, which, I mean, yeah, whatever, sure. that's good. But the fact that they already have on board EA, Take-Two, Ubisoft, Warner Brothers, and all these other companies, and for them to have been told about this 7 years ago and not leak it at all, I think kind of speaks to, like, the potential quality of this service and this experience.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's going to get bought by a big publisher, and I think it's a cool idea, but I'm also as skeptical as Mike is. I mean, I work in the IT industry, and I've been in it long enough to know that there's all these really great ideas, but if people have to work with them, it's going to get screwed up somehow. It's kind of like religion, almost, to a certain degree. Technology and spirituality are you know, right there, parallel. So I definitely think that there is a place for cloud gaming, and I'd love it if that was the case, but you also have to keep in mind that because for everything to work, it's all got to be orchestrated perfectly. I mean, you're going to have the big telecom guys get behind it, like Comcast and AT&T, and they're going to have to get a cut of the pie as well. And so I think
what they said that they're hoping for in that front is that they'll be seen as kind of like a good neighbor, where like this service is what might push people to upgrade to faster speeds so that they can get the high def connection as opposed to the standard def connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
you just use high def to describe something that's not visual.
No, it is. It's HD video versus standard def.
You know,
video.
I have that pet peeve.
I'm talking about video. Relax.
Are you talking about video?
Yeah, the video. It's if you have at least a 5 megabit connection, you'll get 1280 by 720 HD, and if you have at least a 1.5 megabit, you'll get standard def.
Well, I mean, okay. and that's fine. I mean, I think most people that have broadband have those kind of connections. I mean, at least where I live, I get the 5 megabit connection, and mine's the basic like $35 a month kind of deal. So
right, that, yeah, I mean, the same.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's pretty. I mean, that's pretty doable. It makes you wonder, like, what they're going to do is, are they going to charge a subscription? Are they going to charge, you know, by per game? You know, how all that stuff's.
Yeah, they
work,
haven't so. Outright said it, but it sounds like there will be like a kind of Xbox Live kind of subscription to the service, and that gives you access to, you know, all the community features as well. Which it sounds like it's pretty similar to Xbox Live, except like it's got some cool stuff. Like because of the nature of the service, if someone's playing a game, you could just, without even owning the game, just start watching them play. So if they want to show you something cool they're doing or whatever, you can just watch.
Yeah.
Demos are instant. You could rent games on the service, which is kind of neat.
That's cool.
Pete, what do you think? I want to hear from you real quick.
Yeah, cool. I think it's a good idea. It is very dependent on the broadband speed thing, though. And I think that might hurt it a little bit more in Europe than in the States, just because our broadband infrastructure is, I mean, it's getting better, but it's nowhere near as good as what you guys have got in the States at the moment. So I think our connections are too inconsistent around the place at the moment. But I think it's a really good idea, and once the broadband companies around here get their act together, I think it's going to be really good.
Well, they said they're starting the rollout just North America. They'll have a West Coast and East Coast data center with a third one opening in kind of the center of the country. And optimally, you should be within 1,000 miles of a data center. I watched their entire press conference, and I feel very knowledgeable.
You were watching their press conference during the Nintendo press conference.
Yeah, whatever.
You don't. Where are your loyalties?
I honestly, I'm excited with this. And one thing I said on Twitter that I think would be really cool is, I wonder if they could like take like a crappy Win95 machine in this service and let you play like stuff like Crimson Skies or Sonic CD that wouldn't work otherwise.
Well, maybe
it's a pipe dream of mine, but who knows?
Well, you know what? This kind of makes me feel like this cloud gaming. This is the next generation talk. You know, this sounds like this is where it's going to go after the PS3, 360, Wii generation. And
no, wait, there is no next generation, right?
Yeah, good transition.
Didn't Pachter say that?
Yeah, well, Michael Pachter, the Wedbush Morgan analyst, has decreed that this will be the last console generation. Do you guys see that?
No.
His reasoning for it is that developers are already like, they can't make a profit on games with this hardware, and for new hardware to come out 4 to 5 years, like, they just can't afford to develop for anything more high end. And the hardware makers don't want to do it because they're not making money right now on their hardware, except for Nintendo.
Right.
So why would they be in a rush to get at anything new?
Well, I think his point makes more sense if he said this: there won't be a new gen for a while. Not there will never be.
Yeah, it's not like they'll never. I mean, in 10 years.
And
my
I like Michael Pachter. He says some smart things. So, yeah. You know, let it slide. Were you guys all done with OnLive? You have anything else you want to say about it?
No, but I know that I was talking to George Kokoris, who is at GDC this week, and he's been hanging out with me at my place, which has been pretty cool. And he had the chance to play Mirror's Edge on the service. Now, granted, he was playing... I mean, the connection that he had was, I believe he said, 50 miles away. It was like a server that was in town or in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it is their West Coast data center. Just happens to be 50 miles away from San Francisco.
Just happens to, yeah.
Yeah, but he said it ran perfectly. There was no hitches, no anything. He said it looked just as good as if it was running on a PS3 or a 360, and he was playing it off of a laptop. So he said it was pretty cool. And he also said that the controller that he used was a standard 360 controller.
Yeah, it's got – well, I should have mentioned this. They're, in addition to running off a PC or a Mac, they're going to have the little – they call it the micro console, I think. It looks like a thing the size of like a portable hard drive, two USB ports in front, an HDMI, Ethernet, and optical audio in the back, and that's all you need to play games off this service on your TV. And they're going to have their own wireless controller as well.
Well, and the only thing that I want to know is, like, I mean, when I first heard about it and it was talking about – you know, bringing PCs to your living room, the very first thing that came to my mind is, well, how are you going to bring keyboard and mouse controls to the living room? Because no one's ever been able to do that correctly yet.
Well, I don't think that's what they're trying to do. I think, like, if you're playing it on the TV, you're going to be playing something like the PC version of Prince of Persia or Lego Batman. If you're going to play Crysis, you'll sit down at a computer and do it. And, I mean, what's to say you couldn't get, like, a wireless keyboard and mouse and, like, a TV tray and do it like that if you really wanted to?
Sure. I see that.
Yeah, I don't think that's their goal, is to, like, take it to the TV. It's just another option.
Cool.
All right, I think we did that. You want to talk about Iwata's conference now?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The big thing to come out of that is the new Zelda DS called Spirit Tracks.
Which you thought was an on-rail shooter.
Well,
right there.
It's just because, like you said, I was watching the OnLive presser while this was going on. I was reading Twitter as everyone was talking about this, and everyone kept talking about it being on rails. And I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. Like, and then you're like IMing me in Steam. You're like, this new Zelda is like sweet. I'm like, yeah, but it's like on rails. And you're like, yeah, it's on a train. I'm like, oh, I get it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But that said,
it looks awesome.
Well, I like it because it looks like Phantom Hourglass. And I said not too long ago, really, that I want a Zelda game that's like Phantom Hourglass. Doesn't have that one stupid dungeon you keep returning to with all, like, the time restraints and stealth elements, you know?
Right.
So if it's that, yes. Sign me up.
Anything else interesting come out of Iwata's conference?
Well, we had the whole Wii Menu 4.0 thing.
Oh, that's very true, yes. So you can now, if you update your Wiis right now, you get the SD card channel. So you can... You're not really running the game off an SD card, but you can copy channels in Virtual Console and WiiWare games to the SD card and load them from there, and it'll take a second to load it to the Wii's memory and then play it. So it just helps you keep track of all your stuff better.
It's a decent storage solution, at least better than what they had.
It's just that this is what people were saying to do 2 years ago, and like, oh, we're working on it, and that's what we got. I mean, it's good it's here, it's just I don't understand why it took 2 years.
Well, yeah, and I think that the only people that this benefits are people who have, like, a ton of VC games that, you know, they have to start, like, erasing them from the internal memory because, you know, they're buying too many.
Right, or so, if you got, like, all the Strong Bad episodes or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I'm really not going to care until they say, hey, you can download your VC game to the SD card and then you can transfer it to your DSi. When they make that announcement, then I'll be stoked.
Yes, that needs to happen.
Yeah, that has to happen.
I will buy a DSi happily if that's the case.
Yep.
If I could play Super Metroid on the go like that, Ooh. Word.
Yep.
You know, then there's really no reason why not. It's got to happen.
I can understand why maybe not like...
The 64 games?
But even still, I think the 64 could kind of work.
Even
depends
so,
on the game.
I don't even care that much.
Yeah,
give me the Super Nintendo
games. Yeah, if you said I could take Super Nintendo and down on that thing, sign me up.
Yeah.
But see, I really don't see that happening. And the reason why is already when the DSi store comes out or whatever... The points are not transferable. It's like two separate points accounts. Like, why can't Nintendo just work out something where it is like a universal account that you have?
There were some other like kind of smaller kind of neat things
shown. There's that. What's that? Rock and Roll Climber.
Rock and Roll Climber, which uses the balance board and the nunchuck and Wiimote to climb rocks. There's WarioWare Snapped, which is going to be a DSware game.
Yeah, that looked cool.
That was cool. It's like, you know, it's like whenever they have a new gimmick, they have to make a WarioWare game for it.
That's very true. Yeah. That is kind of how they sell it.
Right, and this one uses, you know, the camera. It reminded me of the mini in the games they played after Nick Arcade.
Yeah.
And the screen.
There was, they did announce that Wii Punch-Out will use the balance board.
Mm. It's a lot of different control options. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that game looks cool.
Did you see that thing there where they announced that the Wii board has a bigger install base than the PS3 does?
Yeah. I don't think it has a bigger one. I think it almost
it's
does.
It's getting
there. Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous.
That's a tragedy.
So then the last thing they announced is the Virtual Console now has some arcade games on its lineup. Available now, I believe, is Gapless, Star Force, the Tower of Druega, Mappy, and Space Harrier. So, you know, that's cool. Maybe we'll get the Simpsons arcade game on the Virtual Console.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I doubt it. I don't know. I mean, I own Space Harrier so many freaking times now.
It's a good game, though.
It's fine. It's okay. I don't know. I can't get excited about this.
All right.
I mean, this is what Xbox Live Arcade has been doing for.
Well, yeah,
forever.
That's true. Okay, so I want to get what you guys think about this. So, talking to the Gadget Show, Kawada, who I believe is the producer on the Resident Evil series, basically came out and said it could take 8 years for the next Resident Evil game.
Mm.
Does that seem excessive to anybody else?
Well, when you think about it, Resident Evil 5 took 5 years.
Did he give any sort of justification for that?
Not really.
What, is it going to be that awesome?
I think this is part of the gaming industry's problem. You can't take 8 years to deliver a product.
Remember when they used to take 1 year to make like a good Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Like Final Fantasy 8 and Final Fantasy 9. It was like, well, maybe not 1 year, but like they had it so that they came out a year apart.
Yeah, you can't take 8 years to release a product. You just can't.
Like...
I think he's just trying to get us to forget about the series for a while. You know, just to kind of put a smoke screen up. Like, hey, why don't you guys pay attention to other stuff?
Yeah, that might be. I mean, suffice it to say, I wasn't expecting a next Resident Evil game announcement. But, 8 years, I don't think so.
That seems excessive, yeah.
Yeah, I think this is like when Nintendo told me it was going to take 75 hours to beat Twilight Princess. I was kind of divided by a bit more than half. So, four or 3 years, I say.
Okay, so this is exciting for you. Final Fantasy IV, the after years coming to WiiWare.
Yeah, I kind of regret. I read like this was a cell phone game in Japan, so I kind of read like the plot synopsis a while
just
ago,
thinking it's never going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And here it is. But I forget most of it anyway.
That's good.
But basically a new active time battle system Final Fantasy game on WiiWare. That's cool. I wish I liked Final Fantasy IV more, but I'm excited.
Fable 2 DLC announcement made by Peter Molyneux. Coming within weeks, he said. It's called See the Future. He's promised it's a little more expansive than that whole island, which he admits was rushed. And it's going to have some kind of strong moral choice in the end, which seems to be his pastiche.
I don't want a strong moral choice at the end. I want a freaking boss fight at the end for a change.
Maybe it will be. Who knows?
Well,
you think
it also has some famous people, too. English people in there as well. I know that Jonathan Ross, if you know who that is, he's doing some of the voices for it.
Is that the guy I talked about a few weeks ago who like he thought he like accidentally let out like Fable 3 out of the bag?
Something like that, yeah. It was on his Twitter a few weeks ago that he was...
I was right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, remember, guys,
Peter
Molyneux saying that it's going to be a few weeks means winter of 2010 is when it's going to be.
That's possibly true.
Yeah.
Okay, so at this point, my list of news comes to an end, but I know I probably missed something.
Professor Layton 2.
Okay, there's one thing.
Yeah, Professor Layton and the Diabolical Box is currently being
translated,
localized for the American market, which is... great news. Oh, man, I'm so excited. I mean, it was just getting on my nerves because they're, like, about to release the fourth Professor Layton game in Japan. I'm like, when the hell are we going to get the second one?
The fourth one?
They're not only, yeah, oh, they're about to be working on the fourth one over there. And apparently it's the first one in, like, the planned second trilogy. So they'll have six total.
Jeez.
Plus they're making a movie over there, which looks awesome. But he said that they plan on eventually getting all six Professor Layton games over here.
Professor Layton is an epic trilogy.
Yes, two epic trilogies.
Oh. Wow.
It's like Star Wars. It's a saga. In saga.
So in the movies, there are going to be all kinds of inappropriate boy touching?
What?
Hey, don't insult the professor around Mike.
Did you guys see that that mashup image that Jen Frank made? It's on her Infinite Lives blog, where it's like this picture of this old man and this little boy, and it looks really creepy. Where there's maybe some pedophile action going on there behind the scenes.
Oh dear. Oh. God, no, it's all clean and good and awesome.
Good.
You're just jealous because you would love to be Professor Layton's little boy psychic. I know you all would.
Hey, well, hey, he's a good looking man.
No, that's shut. He's a gentleman. Yeah,
by every definition of the word.
Yeah, he's a complete gentleman.
All right, anything else GDC that caught you guys' interest that you want to talk about?
No, not really.
There's that new Ratchet and Clank game.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. My son's stoked about that one.
I don't know. They keep making these games almost a little too fast, it seems for me, but whatever. I feel like there's been more Ratchet and Clank platforms than Mario ones already.
That's probably true.
Oh, wait. We forgot about one thing, a very important thing. Punch-Out for the Wii.
Oh, yeah, we kind of glazed on it, but...
We did? Oh, man, I'm sorry. I must have spaced out.
No, that's cool. You know, it's coming along. It comes out in like a month or two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone
see that new trailer for it? It looks sweet.
Yeah, it does. And I'm really excited that they are going to give you the classic control option instead of just the...
Yeah, especially because I heard a description of the motion controls, and it sounds good, not great. Like, there's no differentiation in the motion between a high and low punch. To make it a high punch, you hold down up on the analog stick and then punch. Which I don't see why you couldn't just differentiate between low and high.
I prefer what they have, because otherwise it would probably just get messed up.
That's true. I mean, that's probably why it is like that. I mean, I'm going to probably end up playing it classic NES-style controls anyway.
Although I might try that bounce board mode just to see what that's
now,
like.
What do you know about that? Actually, I don't know.
You know, I haven't really looked into it. I imagine
maybe it just ties into the dodging.
Yeah, that's what I imagine.
Okay. That's cool.
All right, then. Anyone else have anything they want to say about news?
Nah, that's a wrap.
Covered everything.
All right.
All right, then. Let's get to 1992.
Let's jump in our time machine.
Which is freaking ridiculous.
Holy God,
year.
That's a big list.
I know. I try to even be selective, but this is ridiculous.
Let's hit it.
First off, we got a lot of games that sort of started genres. First off, we have Alone in the Dark, the original, which is kind of... sort of heralded the whole survival horror thing.
Yeah, basically is what Resident Evil ripped off.
And Beige wanted me to bring that one up too, so we got that. Go ahead.
No, he has an irrational love of that series, and I don't understand it. he loves the recent one.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? I put Contra 3 The Alien Wars up here. This was earlier on when I didn't realize the whole list was going to be stacked, so there it is. If you liked Contra 3 The Alien Wars. I don't know who would say it was the best game of this year. Dune 2, Beige also wanted to bring that up, which is kind of a forerunner of the whole RTS genre.
True.
Which is sort of a weird thing to come from just a game called Dune 2. But there it is.
But it's from the original Command & Conquer developers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is,
yeah,
exactly.
Westwood.
So, yeah, kind of after Dune 2, you had Command & Conquer, which was sort of the same thing. Then we got Echo the Dolphin for Genesis, which is the game I've always sort of admired and thought was awesome, but never really enjoyed playing
it. It was
that
a very
much.
Pretty and atmospheric game for its time. Something was very Metroid-esque about it in that way.
Yeah, it was like Metroid-esque, but you constantly have the whole having to breathe thing to worry about.
Yeah.
Got annoying. It was basically like playing that underwater level in games you don't like to play because you have to worry about breathing,
right.
But for an entire game.
True.
Final Fantasy V, which is a big one for me. This is one of my favorite Final Fantasies. And, I mean, I'm playing through it again right now, so I've been talking about how awesome it is. And Sword Guy also wanted me to bring that one up. I love that one. Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, brought up by Fiend and Beige, which surprises me, because didn't Beige say, along with me in the last podcast, that he has not played Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis?
I know, and I'm ashamed of all of you for that.
Maybe next squad mission, so
yeah.
Then I'll get on that.
I started playing it on my jailbroken iPhone.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Well, it is one of the contenders of the next mission boat. So
mm-hmm. Cool.
I just realized I was scratching my ass on the stupid cameras pointing at me. Oh, God.
Beautiful.
Okay, King's Quest King's Quest VI, air today, gone tomorrow, which I think...
This was my first PC CD-ROM game.
Right.
And it confused the hell out of me.
I don't know that much about King's Quest, but this is kind of thought of as the best, one of the best in the series, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's good. I've never beaten it because it's hard as hell, but it's good.
Mm-hmm. It is really good. It's one of the earliest games I can remember having voice acting, really.
And good voice acting, too.
Yeah. It was kind of creepy with it. The whole game was kind of creepy.
In a very interesting setting.
Kirby's Dream Land came out, which was... It was interesting in that it was like, here's a new IP and it's debuting on the Game Boy. You know, and eventually it would have Pokemon also, but it was kind of... And like, Kirby was kind of the Game Boy sort of mascot for a while, really.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Paige also wanted me to bring that up, which you know, as important as Street Fighter 2 was, Mortal Kombat was just cooler. Oh, yeah. It was. Maybe not as good as the game technically, but come on. Everyone loved that stuff. I mean, it was so cool when, like, Mortal Kombat came out in the arcade and you went there like, oh god, we gotta play Mortal Kombat. You felt like, especially if you were me and you were, like, way too young to play, you felt like a total badass.
Well, I remember Mortal Kombat was the game, because you know, Street Fighter 2 was the fighting game of the time, and then when Mortal Kombat came out, people were like, whoa, they're using, like, real live actors, you know, as characters, and then there was the whole fatality thing, which was the cool shtick, but everybody knew and understood that it was the inferior game to play.
Yeah, probably. But I didn't.
But, yeah. But so everybody was like, oh, let's play Mortal Kombat because it's the new hotness, but then they play it and they go, yeah, okay. Let's go to play Street Fighter 2 again. So,
well, I mean, here we are now, and Mortal Kombat's not nearly as relevant as Street Fighter still is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of weird, but I had to
I approve
it.
Of this.
Sword Guy brought this up. I'm like, yeah, Sewer Shark, which was a Sega CD game.
Ghost here. I always come back for more.
Sewer Shark was a weird game. What? It was on rails?
It was basically an on-rail shooter where you had a little bit of control over the paths you took. It
was all live action.
It wasn't terrible. It was a little cheesy and campy, but...
I remember being really hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
Maybe I was just young.
It's basically like trying to play a shooter while also trying to play Simon Says.
I was kind of surprised that the Sega CD came out in 1992.
Yeah, you don't think of it as being that old.
No, not at all. But there it is. Okay, people like this one. Shin Megami Tensei. Shut up, Tensei. God. Came out, Sword Guy also wanted me to bring that up. So, you know, I have to kind of claim a little ignorance here. What exactly was the first Shin Megami Tensei like? Anyone?
Weird.
Weird? Okay.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Super fan of the series, or did you just really get into it?
I only really got into it with Persona, but, as far as I know, the older Shin Megami Tensei games, they had a lot of the same sort of thematic content. They had all the demons in it. A lot more focus on it was negotiating with the demons and getting them in your party, so it kind of had a sort of Pokemon-type element to it as well, a bit like Persona's got, I guess. The early ones, I'm not sure about this one that came out this year, they were sort of first-person perspective dungeon crawlers. But yeah, I don't know a lot about this particular one, but I know Sword Guy's got a lot of time for it. According to Wikipedia, this was on a lot of things over the years anyway. It was on PC Engine, or TurboGrafx, Sega CD, Super NES, and eventually made it to Game Boy Advance and Virtual Console as well, apparently, as well. Maybe only Japan. But yeah, it's the beginning of a now long-running series.
All right, we got Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Great game.
Which was Sonic the Hedgehog 1, but better, because he had Tails and the Spin Dash. And an awesome final boss area.
Yes.
Great stuff. Oh, man. Whole Silver Sonic, and then Dr. Robotnik's crazy thing, and then you beat him, and you jump out of the base as it's blowing up, and then Tails saves you. It's good stuff. It was one of the first things I played through, again, when I got the Sonic's Ultimate Sega Genesis Collection on... 360.
I remember
so fun stuff.
Yeah, I remember I used to play Sonic the Hedgehog 2 with the sound all the way down. And this kind of goes back to what I had mentioned on our game music show on the Squadcast. But I used to have the sound all the way down, and I would listen to Where the Wild Things Are by GBH at like volume 11. And it try it. It's really awesome. It really enhances the experience.
I'll have to do that sometime. But I'll miss all those sound effects, though. That would bother me.
Okay.
Ding, okay. Ding, you know, rings and spin dash. You know, do you need more?
No, we're good.
I love that spin dash. You keep pushing the B button. Like, does that really make it go faster?
Yeah.
It did?
To a point,
because I was, like, doing it way much longer than I needed to. I was like, gotta keep dashing. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to be like a bat out of hell when I come out of this spin dash. Okay. All right, this will be a squad favorite, I'm sure. Star Control 2 came out.
Yeah, oh, yes.
And Rod, Phage, and Rock wanted me to bring this one up, this is probably one of our best squad missions, too, really. But, God, this is definitely a squad favorite, huh? I'll let you guys talk about this.
Yeah, it was actually our most downloaded and most popular squad cast, I believe. And I was surprised because I went and, you know, I always do our posts in GAF. About each squad cast, and that was the one that got the most traffic. And I was really amazed at how many people still remember that game and still play it and still give it a lot of love. But it really holds up great. I mean, yeah, the graphics aren't anything to write home about, but it's free, and it's mm-hmm. It's just wonderful. But actually, as far as the details, I'm going to leave that up to Pete because I never played it through its entirety. But just a lot of really great comedy and. A lot of fun exploration and just a good time.
Yeah, I mean it's good just because it's an incredibly well written game, which was I guess quite rare at the time for a lot of things. It was big. It was long. There was a lot to do. It was a really good space RPG basically, mm-hmm. and it was the kind of thing that a Star Trek game should have been, and there hadn't really been a good Star Trek game up until that point. Well, I'm not sure if there has been recently, even, but I mean, it was Star Trek. Basically, you get your ship, you go off, you explore planets, you go and collect things, you meet up with alien women and have sex with them, and then you save the universe at the end of it. So, sweet. It was it's
what more
really
did you
good.
Ask for?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think a lot of the popularity is to do with the fond memories that people have got of all the characters and the good writing in it, and also the fact that they open sourced it with the whole Urquan Masters project, because you can now get it for free with things like musical enhancements and full speech and stuff. That's been a big thing to make that game still popular to this day. So,
mm-hmm. All right, cool. Let's. Go next down here. We got Super Mario Kart. Beige also wanted me to bring this up, and this was another genre-defining game because we have the first kart racer for better or worse.
Yeah,
which is still a genre I kind of like to keep to the Mario Kart series. But there? Didn't someone do a list not too long ago where they said this was the best game ever?
Really?
I remember there's a controversial list or most important game ever or something. I don't know. But Super Mario Kart's fun.
Keep in mind that there are also people that make midget porn sites that think that's the best thing ever. So,
oh yeah, there you go. Well, not that Super Mario Kart is the equivalent of midget porn.
Of course not.
You guys talked about midget porn in the last Squadcast. Why does it sound familiar?
I don't. What?
I think you did.
Why did you say, why does it sound familiar? It's not from us. I don't know what you're doing.
Podcast is talking about midget porn, okay? That's all I'm saying.
You've been clearing out your internet cache again.
Yeah. So in summary, Rob likes midget porn and Mario Kart, yeah?
Yeah, there we go. See, transferred.
Right. Nice.
Okay. Anyways. Wolfenstein 3D, Feed and Beige wanted me to bring this up, and here we have kind of the first first-person shooter.
Which I'm playing on my iPhone.
Yeah, that's nice. Right. They're still porting this game, God.
Well, it's open source.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, my point is people still want to play it.
I have a good Wolfenstein 3D story.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, it was one of my first positive experiences on the sort of proto-internet, if you like. One of the first ways we got online at our house was through CompuServe, and there were lots of gaming forums and stuff on there. And Wolfenstein was really big at the time, and there were loads of sort of level editors and downloadable levels and stuff that you could get. So I downloaded one of these editors and made a few levels and posted them online for people to look at. And some guy contacted me out of the blue and said, "Oh, we're doing an expansion pack for Wolfenstein 3D. Can we use some of your levels? We'll pay you." And I was like, "Yeah, right, whatever." But I got in touch with him anyway, just to see if anything would happen. And yeah, sure enough, a few weeks later, I got a copy of the full registered version of Wolfenstein 3D and this expansion pack and $200, which was pretty sweet.
Nice. All right.
So wait, cool.
Yeah.
You're saying that there's an expansion for Wolfenstein 3D with some of your levels in it?
Yep, it's called Wolfenstein 3D, the Super Upgrades. And there's 10 levels by me on there.
No way. Nice.
Are you kidding? Are you shitting me?
Nope. Linkage!
I don't know how I can get that on my iPhone.
Yeah, you must link that. Oh my god, that's cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Man, you're just better than me in every way.
he's better than all of us in many ways.
I designed levels for Wolfenstein 3D. What? Oh my god. They got paid for it. That makes you a professional game designer, technically, huh?
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's true.
He's like, it does.
All right. And last on the main list, just for me and AJ, I put World of Illusion on there.
Woo!
Which was the Mickey Mouse Donald Duck co-op game, which was awesome.
Yes. Wait, wasn't World of Illusion supposed to be the sucky one?
Who said that? I think Fiend did.
Yeah, someone did, but no, it's awesome.
It's incorrect. That game was sweet.
Right. Yeah, it's great.
All right.
And okay, Sword Guy had some other things he wanted me to bring up. Ultima 7.
Yep.
Yeah.
You've been playing through the Ultima games, haven't you?
I've played Ultima 1 and 2 recently. I've never got around to 7, but it's supposed to be one of the best ones in the series.
Right.
Baseball Stars, which is a baseball game I don't know much about. Landstalker, Steel Empire. Again, if you guys know anything about these games.
Yeah, Landstalker was good. That became Alundra. On the PS1 was the sort of...
Which one?
Sounds familiar.
Landstalker. Wait. That was sort of the pseudo-sequel to it, almost. It was an isometric action RPG. And Alundra was a sort of more traditional Zelda-like. But they were both really good games. And all the characters had really big feet.
Yeah, Baseball... I know Baseball Stars, too. That actually came out for the Nintendo, I believe. And it was one of the first baseball games where you could actually customize your players and your teams. And it was the beginning of baseball games getting way too complex for me. So, but it was pretty solid. I remember that one.
How about Steel Empire? Anybody know anything about that?
I don't know about that. I've got another Landstalker thing, though. I forgot. There was a sequel to it released in Japan, I think, called Lady Stalker, which just has the most wrong title ever. But, yeah, it was basically the same game, but with a female lead character. But it just had a brilliant name.
Oh, that's a great name. I hope they made another sequel called Child Stalker.
Oh, God. and Professor Layton makes an appearance.
Yeah,
we're on fire today.
Wait, watch the live stream, Rock. Watch it.
Wait.
Wait,
oh, ass.
There it is. There it is. There's the bird. All right.
Never coming on EVP again.
Yes, you are.
Okay, so no one knows anything about Steel Empire.
No.
It sounds familiar. I imagine so industries
you're
involved.
Thinking, whatchamacallit, Steel Battalion.
Yeah, I don't know. Sword Guy yelled at me to make sure I checked the Wikipedia pages for these, and I didn't.
He did.
Sorry. Shining Force. You know, I kind of played this recently because it's on this Ultimate Genesis Sonic Fuckfest game collection, whatever.
Fuckfest. It should be cool, that. I'm with you.
I don't know. Playing it today, I couldn't get into it very much. It had a very weird art style. It was just hard for me, but I know it's a cult classic and stuff. People like it. Novalin. Anyone?
Was that Captain Novalin?
Maybe. What's Captain Novalin?
Is that the diabetes game? Hold on. I'm going to look that up.
Did you say diabetes game?
Yes, and I'm not joking.
I've heard about that.
Yep, here we are.
What are you doing?
You play a superhero who has diabetes, and yes, and it's a platformer, and most of the bad guys are really like sugary cakes and stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
I want to play this game so bad.
Wait.
And it was awful, but it was hilarious.
Most of the bad guys were really sugary kids.
Yeah, I totally remember this game, man. This is creepy. Wow.
Oh, thank you, Sword Guy, for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Made my day. All right, Gallagher's Gallery, which is, I'm assuming, is some sort of shooting game with a light gun.
Okay.
Mad Dog 2, which is awesome.
Mad Dog.
I didn't like it as much as Mad Dog McCree the first, but still good stuff. And Cybernator, which I did Wikipedia. And now forget. Wait, no, I still have it. Cybernator, is a run and gun style game released for the Super Nintendo with a really cool looking robot on the front cover.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then Simmies wanted me to bring up some Amiga games. We have Project X, which it's a scrolling shooter, and again, an awesome front cover.
That's about, a lot of these games were want to have.
Right. Zool, the ninja from the Nth Dimension, which eventually got ported to all kinds of things, but it was originally an Amiga game.
Played this on the Jaguar, I think.
Right.
Lore of the Temptress.
Lore of the Temptress.
Oh, that's I'm playing that right now. Right. It's free on goodoldgames.com.
Okay, because this it was like this and Beneath the Steel Sky, and eventually it kind of led to the Broken Sword series. So, sort of those games. And yeah, they're on goodoldgames.com right now. All right, everyone, we need to pick a game of the year. Do you want me to go through the list again, real quick?
Wait a second.
What? Did you forget something? I forget something?
If you said it, then I apologize again because I may have blanked out again. But what about Night Trap? Did we talk about that?
Oh.
Night Trap?
Night Trap, yeah, Dana Plato, the game. It was one of her last, unfortunately, the last things that she did. Before she posed for Playboy and then died of a drug overdose,
they showed it on. They did a Broken Pixels on it, and they're absolutely right. We're like, you want to like watch them sing the Night Trap song, but if you sit there and watch it, you'll get a game over because one of the guys like comes and kills them or something.
Yeah, it's horrible. I don't think anything that came out for the Sega CD was good at all. Maybe Sonic CD, but I don't remember.
Sonic CD. And what was that game where you were basketballs?
I don't remember, but I thought it was fun.
That was good.
Yeah, you know what? Sword Guy wanted me to bring up Night Trap, and I forgot about it. But here we go. Well, thank you, Rock, for saving me.
Real quickly, just a couple more things I want to drop that are game-related. Philips released the CDI, which was massive hit.
A system that couldn't.
Oh, yeah. God, that's a classic, you know? You're like Super Nintendo, PS2, and CDI.
Yeah. Also, Humongous Entertainment came out, which was Ron Gilbert's company that he formed when he left LucasArts. And they made, like, right. Putt-Putt Goes to School or Putt-Putt Goes to Wherever. Those were big games.
I like those Putt-Putt games. I was young enough to play them.
Yeah, well, they're very cool. Actually, my son played all those games, and I'd play them with him, and it kind of gave me that little nostalgic feeling of playing adventure games. But there's that. And then finally I wanted to bring up, which I think is funny because of the state that Activision is in right now, but they filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 92.
Is this about the time Bobby Kotick swooped in and saved them?
I don't think Kotick was there then. I may be wrong.
I forget. I read that article about him in Forbes or whatever, but I forget what year he came into the picture.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So, yeah, okay, so now we can wrap it up.
Well, Pete, do you have anything else you
want to add? I've got two games worthy of honorable mention. One is Seventh Guest on PC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a scary game.
Yeah. That was a creepy-ass game.
Yeah, which apparently now works with Scum VM, interestingly.
No, really?
Yeah, apparently.
That was built on Scum?
No, not at all, but apparently works with it now. Wow. Yeah, that was one of the sort of big showcase CD-ROM titles that used to get bundled in with CD drives.
You ever play 11th Hour, the sequel?
I never did, no.
That game was scary. Because it just had like the creepy guy who just would randomly talk into your ear every so often. Scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. I mean, that was an interesting game because it wasn't quite an adventure and it wasn't quite a puzzle game and it was somewhere in between, but it was all sort of pre-rendered, wasn't it? And
Yeah, but it had like the live actors in it.
Yeah.
It was one of those games when I couldn't play it. I was way too afraid of it. Creeped the hell out of me. Poor little six-year-old Mike. No, didn't take it.
Hey, I got a couple of honorable mentions, if I can throw them in there real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, sure.
There are two arcade games. They actually both came out in 91, but I didn't get to play them until 92 because, you know, the companies have to buy them and put them on the arcade floor. But Terminator 2, the pinball machine, came out.
Nice.
And that was awesome.
Game of the year right there. Yes. That's it. We can stop right there.
Whoa, no. Wait, you haven't heard the second one. The second one is WrestleFest, which was the WWF game. Where it was like the four player, and you could play as the Road Warriors and the Hurricane and the Ultimate Warrior. That was awesome.
I never actually got to play that.
What? Oh my god!
I know.
You of all people.
It's a little dirty secret, but as big as I am into wrestling, I didn't get into it
until like 2 years ago,
3 years ago.
Okay, yeah, way before your time then.
Yeah, well, still, I appreciate the nostalgia.
Did you have one more, you said?
Yeah, one more. Ultima Underworld came out as well as Ultima 7.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I tried that game. I couldn't wrap my head around it for some reason.
Yeah, it was interesting because it came out the same year as Wolfenstein 3D, but it actually had a much more advanced 3D engine than it. Because Wolfenstein 3D was 2.5D, basically. It was a 2D maze that you were inside in 3D, whereas Ultima Underworld was true 3D with bridges and rooms above rooms and all sorts of things. So, yeah, that was really cool. But it had
I want to add real quick. I saw the video review for Matt Hazard on Game Trailers, and there's a level in that game which just looks like Wolfenstein 3D, which is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I wish that game was better because I like a lot of the things that I see about it.
All right, well, we need to pick one of these.
Star Control 2.
I kind of thought like move maybe on. We should go there.
Star Control 2. That's it.
I kind of have to agree.
Well, Beige has he puts up a pretty good argument where Dune 2, is it Dune 2 and Alone in the Dark that he said were essentially created genres? Which
he said Dune 2 and Wolfenstein 3, but Alone in the Dark also, really.
Yeah, well, that was a survival horror genre that created. So that's true, but you're wrong, Beige. Star Control 2. Moving on.
I don't think Beige would disagree. I feel like the squad would never forgive me if we don't pick Star Control 2 here. Yeah.
Plus, I mean, it's just it did so many things that a game had ever done. It was so open and so like emergent and everything.
See, Star Control 2 should have started a genre.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Pete, you good with this?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I want to give Indiana Jones honorable mention, though. But yeah, Star Control 2, definitely.
Okay. I can get behind that, too.
All right, then. We got Star Control 2. All right, guys, let's see if we can get through this list. You wrote
which
it down
you,
last
which
time.
You, well, it's on my computer in Pittsburgh. And you effed this up last week.
And the week before, probably. Yeah. I keep saying Tetris for the 1 year when it was actually...
SimCity.
SimCity. Okay, listen up. We got... I could have sworn we said Tetris now.
No, we said SimCity. He's right.
Okay. 86 was the original Legend of Zelda. 87 was Metal Gear. 88 was Mega Man 2. 89... was SimCity. 1990 was Super Mario World. 1991 was Street Fighter 2. And 1992 is Star Control 2.
Good job.
Ah, nice, huh?
Very nice.
All right. Time for public humiliation.
Oh, yes, right. We got the quiz.
All right.
And don't look real quick. I messed something up. Okay. Because, AJ can't look at the answers. And he's just right here. So I have to put him in... you know, white.
I just keep my eyes shut.
All right, guys. You guys are allowed to help him out here, and if you do, you get gold stars.
I won't be very much help to you, but I'll see what I can do.
You might be.
You never know.
All right, guys. Let's get this going. First question. Who is the lead character in King's Quest VI?
That would be, oh boy, he's a prince. And what is his first name?
I know this one if you can't get it.
Oh?
Yeah, go ahead. What is it, Pete?
It's Prince Alexander.
That's it, right. Prince Alexander.
Remember before I said you only get half a point if someone helps you? Uh-huh. You get a full point.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, yes, Prince Alexander.
I knew as soon as I heard it, I'd remember it.
All right. Question number two. Daniel Piscina, who was the actor behind Sub-Zero, Scorpion, and Reptile in Mortal Kombat 1, also did one other character. Which?
Ermac.
Kidding.
Not Ermac, no.
I feel like I know this.
Ermac is not the one.
Does anyone know for sure?
No, I know. I do on this one.
I'm tempted to say that it's Johnny Cage.
Why don't you go with it then?
Okay.
Correct.
Yes. Oh, I don't know Johnny why Cage. I knew that.
Nice. Funny side story. Apparently, at some point, he used his Johnny Cage outfit to promote some other game and then got fired from.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, from Midway. Yeah. Okay. Number three. How many playable characters were in Super Mario Kart?
Let's see. You had Mario, Luigi, Toad, Peach, Bowser. It was like Donkey Kong Jr. or something weird.
Yeah.
Is there any more than that? I don't think so. Were you playing as a Koopa Trooper yet? I don't think he showed up till later. I'm going to go with six.
No, Koopa was definitely in there.
No.
It's eight.
Then who was the other one?
Well, I can't remember who you all said and do it for you. Someone else can figure that out.
Okay,
you can still win this thing, Edge Guy.
All right.
Number four. What species of dolphin is Echo?
He's a bottlenose dolphin.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
That's easy.
All right, this one's the hard one, though.
Oh, great.
This is it. I don't know. What is the name of the city you are trying to reach in Sewer Shark?
Oh my god. Oh my god. This is another one. I'm going to know it as soon as I hear it.
You are cruel and heartless, Mike.
I know. Aren't I, though? Aren't I?
Jeez.
It's great.
Damn it. What is it?
You don't know.
What is it?
You want to know?
Yeah.
Solar City.
Ah!
Solar City.
Because it was above, it was in the sun. They all lived in the sewers. Damn it.
The fact, right, the fact that is familiar to you, AJ, it really hurts me.
See, like, I wanted a Sega CD hardcore when I was a kid because, like, I was, like, gung-ho Sega. And that was the pack-in. So, of course, it was, like, the only game I had for a while, so I had to play it.
All right.
Never beat it, okay. But they always tease you with Solar City.
All right.
All right. Well, what's my bonus question?
Name the four characters that initially make up your party at Final Fantasy V.
Well, I've never played Final Fantasy V,
Well, you
asshole.
Got some guys here to help. Someone
well,
may know.
I know there's Butts / Barts. Anyone else here play Final Fantasy V?
Yeah,
there's Cecil, right?
You've got Butts / Barts. You've got Reyna / Lena / something else, depending which
we
version
you play.
We can
just do American names here if you want.
What's the old dude called? Is it Galoof or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And who's the fourth one? Ferris.
Yep, there you go.
What he said.
Yeah, Rock gets a minus gold star for saying Cecil from Final Fantasy IV.
Well, also keep in mind that, you know, here on this show we have two people that have done Final Fantasy marathons within the last 2 years, so.
Yeah.
Pete never finished his marathon.
I never finished mine, no.
He stopped at, like, 3.
No, I got to the end of 4.
Okay, fine. Right. You have to pick that up someday.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, that guy, you got 4 out of 5. 2 of which you didn't get in your own.
Yeah, whatever.
So, you know, but not a bad showing for you. I'm trying to get you to win one of these.
I know.
I was being a jerk with the Solar City one, but I was kind of thinking you would get Mario Kart. All right, everyone. So now we can transition to our week in gaming.
All right.
Yay.
And we can have some fun with that.
Who wants to go first?
I will.
Okay.
I have pretty much been playing MLB The Show 09 nonstop this whole week.
I have the demo on my PS3, and I'm dying to find... All I have heard about this game are great things, and I have not been into a baseball game literally since RBI Baseball on the NES.
Well, you're about to hear more great things. This kid's in love with it.
I love the game. I'll tell you what, the demo may not have the mode that I really play all the time, because the great thing about the game is they have a mode called Road to the Show, where you play as one player, and, you know, you can pick any position you want. Everyone seems to agree the best thing to do is to pick starting pitcher because, you know, there's kind of a lot of things to do with that. And what it is they start you off in spring training for whatever team you want to do. And you kind of play through it, and chances are your stats aren't very good yet, so you're not going to make it to the majors yet. So they'll offer you a contract with Double-A baseball, like something in the minors. Then from there, you kind of have to work your way up to, you know, eventually getting into the majors. Like, I started off as a relief pitcher in Double-A, and then I, you know, worked my way up to starting pitcher. And, you know, it's cool because, like, you there's all these, like, little things to it. Like, every time you win a game, you get some, you know, not even just winning a game, but filling certain requirements. Like, sometimes they'll be like, oh, there's a runner on first, get the double play ball, then you get points.
Oh, cool.
Or, hey, get ahead in the count, you know, you get points. Just, you know, really neat things
it's
like that.
It's very RPG-ish.
Right, kind of.
Nice.
And if you, like, get, like, 4 or more strikeouts, here's some points, depending on how many strikeouts you got. 5 wins in a row, here's points. And, you know, if you fail certain objectives, you even lose points, so you have to watch out for that. So then you spend the points on raising all sorts of attributes and stuff like that. And you have certain advancement goals that you have to kind of keep up with. So you can't just spend it on literally everything you want, because, you know, your manager will be like, hey, I want your accuracy to go up and within the next month. So you have to, you know, do that. If you don't keep up with your goals, then they might drop you. And if you do keep up with them, it looks good for you. You can also interact with your manager, and you can say things like, you know, you can complain if you thought you were taken out too early from the last game. You can, if you're not a starting pitcher and you want to be, you can ask if you can have that spot. And, you know, there's a give and take, because if they agree with you, then, you know, that's good. And if they don't, then you might not play for a little bit. Stuff like that. But, you know, when then you get to the actual, you know, playing the game. And it's cool, because the way it works is you only ever have to play anything your player is involved with. So since I'm a starting pitcher, I only have to play whenever my guy's pitching. If you're a first baseman, you only ever play, not only when you bat, but you only play if there's a play involving the first baseman. You don't even have to play, you know, every single defensive round.
Oh, wow.
Stuff like that.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. It's cool because, like, you know, I played through an entire season. I'm in my second season, and a little bit into the second season, I got the call to finally go up to AAA baseball, and it's like I was legitimately excited about it. I was like, yes, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is just – it's just presented so well. It looks gorgeous. The animations are pretty good. Very few glitches. It's just – it's the best sports game I think I've played. I'm having a lot of fun.
It is excellent. It's very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this may be the first sports game that a lot of the people from the squad can get buy-in into.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been excited about a sports game maybe – you know, ever. So it was like
this is very true.
Let's say it was like an extreme sports game, you know.
Right.
Tony Hawk doesn't count.
Right, true.
Tony Hawk and wrestling games do not count. no, but I mean, I've really been into this game, especially this whole, and there's other features I haven't looked into. I mean, the season mode and the manager mode, which is basically, you know, like the whole manager sim thing. And
it's a lot there.
Yeah, and there's this whole cool, like, it has its own, like, music editor in it. So you can, you know, set up everybody's songs and stuff for when they come out. Right now, I named my character Steve Austin, by the way, because
okay. They
have all
where they have like a voice bank of first and last names, and those are in there.
Right. So I'm like, oh, cool. It'll just be Steve Austin. So every time, like they say, and now coming in Steve Austin.
Wow.
It avoids that thing where, like, you know, it'll sound like, oh,
Steve Austin.
Right. And, you know,
it flows.
Yeah. Everything flows really well.
Wow. That's cool.
It's a very well produced game.
It is. I still suck at batting horribly. There's a learning curve. It's a, you know, this is a pretty hardcore game, but man, I am having a ball.
But like
with
it is, but it isn't. Because like the reason why I never liked like the 2K series of baseball is it overcomplicates everything. Where this is like X to swing, square to power swing. To pitch the ball, you get like the golf swing meter. There's none of this like excessive crap. It's all just kind of back to basics in a way.
Right, but it all just works really well.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Very cool.
So that's pretty much entirely what I've been playing this whole week. I've been playing a lot of it.
All right, Rock, why don't you go?
Well, I'm really stoked because I was on vacation this week, so I actually have games to talk about. So it's
all right.
Yeah. So first off, I finally finished Mass Effect.
No spoilers, please.
No spoilers. I mean, there's really nothing new that I can throw into the discussion, but there's not a twist, but there's a reveal. Yeah, I guess it is kind of a twist, but it makes sense and it gives the story some weight. I really don't like epic space stories because I don't know, it's just not my kind of thing. And I also didn't particularly latch on to any of the characters in the game, but the aesthetics and the sound and the music were so captivating to me. I mean, it's kind of a cheesy word, but that it really just it held my attention for the whole playthrough. I did like Rex. Rex was pretty cool. He was
cool.
He is awesome.
Yeah,
I love that guy.
He was cool. And then,
well, I picked it back up inspired by you. So like, cause I haven't touched it in a while, and I do want to finish it.
I saw that. Oh, good.
Yeah, you're like started like texting me on Xbox, like, you copycat. I'm like, eh. But see, like where you said you don't get into the characters, like I always do this when I play games where I kind of fill in gaps for the characters. And I think I end up liking them a lot better than most people because when I was playing the game before my Xbox got stolen, and I was playing a male renegade. So when I started it up again, I was like, well, I don't want to redo all that stuff exactly, so I'm playing a female Paragon, which it's kind of the first time I've ever cross-gamed, which is kind of an interesting experience. But, like, you know, so I'm trying to work on the whole relationship with you and Caden, and I actually find it all really genuine in a way that you don't see in a lot of games, and I've actually been really enjoying that aspect because, like, I keep him in my party and everything, and I don't know if this is just the way he's scripted or not, but it seems like he shows a little bit more of like a defensive attitude towards me when I'm in trouble care about me. So I find that all like at least that's what I say in my head. So to me, it's all really cool.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because that was going to be my next point because I was going to talk about the romantic tinge to this game. I played as the male Shepherd, and I thought it was really interesting that you have two choices. You have the alien, who is the only one who gives you truly romantic vibes throughout the whole game, yet she's blue and an alien, and so the thought of being with her is to Captain Kirk.
Hot?
No, to Captain Kirkish for me, man. But so then your other alternative is Ashley, who is a racist who just really wants to be donkey punched. So it's not really a very viable romantic situation. However, when it does get to the point where the copulation happens, it's very tasteful, and I'm glad that they took that angle instead of taking the cheesy, you know, raunchy angle. So I thought that was cool. So
right.
And
the GTA angle, as it were.
Right, exactly. And so it's good to know that the Caden, like if you play as the female Shepherd, and the Caden romance seems more believable, because I was wondering about that, if it was also going to be the same kind of weirdness, you know, it's kind of...
Yeah, no, like some of the backstory you get from him is really cool, like because you learn a little bit more about what he was like, what it was like for him growing up as a biotic. And, like, he has this kind of troubled past and everything, and I find it all really engaging.
Are you in love with him, Mason?
Maybe. Hey, he's voiced by the guy who is Karth in KOTOR.
Oh, my God.
Karth.
How could...
Right.
I don't like this guy. But, yeah, and he was also... he was one of the commandos Republic Commando.
I think he was... I like Fixer.
Maybe. I can't remember which one he was, but it's him, too.
Huh.
I love that guy's voice.
Very cool. Awesome. All right.
What else you got for us?
Okay, so I've also been playing the hottest online co-op experience out today. No, not Resident Evil 5. 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Oh, man.
So,
do tell.
So I got to tell you, I am... morally opposed to anything and everything that 50 Cent is about. I think that he is everything that's wrong with American capitalism. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But I remember we were doing a squad cast where we were talking about shameful games and games that we enjoyed playing, and we started talking about just really ridiculous games. And I believe Beige was the one who brought up, you know, 50 Cent's coming out, we should all play this online, and like the idea of playing a cheesy, you know, B-rate game sounded really appealing to me. So when it came time for me to go on vacation, we talked about it again. So we were gonna play it together. Unfortunately, he didn't get a copy. I wound up getting a copy before him, and I just rented it. Thank God. but so when you go into a game like this, you expect there to be lines of dialogue that you can kind of latch onto and use as inside jokes between you and your friends. And right. Unfortunately, this doesn't have any, because it's written in such a bland manner that they literally take all of the hip-hop, like all the stereotypical hip-hop lines and use those as one-liners. You know, like, I gotta get paid, or, you know, you know, suck on this, or, you know, it's all basic, really.
It doesn't bring anything new to the table, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And while I was playing it, I couldn't help but think, you know, even the target market for this game are probably offended, because it's just dumb. The only line that was said that is anything that I kind of will probably use again in other conversations is during a boss battle, which, by the way, if it's a boss battle, it's you fighting against a helicopter. So
right,
just
I heard about that.
Throw that out there. You're fighting against this guy who is former military, and of course he is from the South, because, you know, all people from the South join the military, right? And and whenever you're fighting against helicopters, apparently there is a megaphone attached on the outside of the helicopter where you can hear everything crystal clearly that the pilot is telling you and taunting you about. And he repeats the same three lines all throughout the battle, and my favorite of which is going to be, I'm going to make you my bitch! And he says that over
nice.
And over and over. And that's the exact
sounds
intonation
ex-military.
That he uses. Yeah. So there's that, and then a disappointing thing about it is that there are things that you can unlock. You can actually unlock taunt packs. However, I still continue to hear only the same four or five lines of dialogue. And you only hear taunts, I believe, when you go into... I forgot what it's called, but it's when you go into the melee little mini game, which is just hitting the B button at the right time. And then he'll say his taunt whenever he kills somebody. And it's always something stupid. And then you can also buy... different ways of killing people in this little melee minigame that you have, and I never saw more than like three different ways of doing it. So it's something that would have been cool if they would have executed it properly, but they just didn't. But the thing is, I'm complaining about this game a lot. And hey, how's it going there, other brother Minotti?
Sorry, I showed up on the Ustream video. That's what it showed me.
No worries. So the thing is that this game is as stupid and as immature as it is. It plays really well. I mean, it's very well constructed. I actually wanted to finish it, not because I cared where the story went, but I was having a pretty decent time. I mean, it's almost, I mean, this game is a complete vanity project, right? It's basically 50 Cent coming in and talking to some publishers, and they're like, 50, what do you want a game? And he goes, well, I like Gears of War 2. That shit was hot. And then I like, and then I like Max Payne, right? Because you hit Max Payne, you go into slow mo, and you can shoot motherfuckers. And then, you know, I'm trying to think of another game, but it's all those kind of games. And then at the very end, they were like, "Is there anything else, Fitty? Is there anything else that you want?" He goes, "You know what? I like Dukes of Hazzard too, because there's this little, freaking scene where you're driving."
Like,
the 50
Cent sounds like Mr. T.
Yeah, that was a really bad voice, but I'm trying to keep it down because I don't want my son to break in here and be like, "Dad, watch your language." So there's a part, there's little vehicle parts, and by the way, even the vehicle parts control pretty well, which is really surprising. But you're driving and you're following these people that are in Jeeps shooting at you, and just out of nowhere, there will be a little tiny ramp that's in the middle of the track, and it's like, and then your partner's like, "Fitty, hit that ramp!" And so you go and you hit the ramp, you hit the ramp, and it goes into slow mo, and it, I mean, I'm waiting for the, but it doesn't play that.
Oh, they should have done it.
That's about the only thing that doesn't happen.
There's something about the idea of this very obvious ramp coming up, and 50's partner be like, "Hit that ramp, 50!
it's really ridiculous.
Like, no kidding, I'm not going to hit the ramp.
Yeah. And the sad thing, and here's the ironic part, too, is that this game was the one that helped me pop the 10,000K gamer score cherry.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so, and I can't really take credit for all those points, because half of them are probably earned by my son, so... But yeah, so that was the big thing. Those are the two big games that I played. I did a lot of I bought a lot of games on the goodoldgames.com this week. I bought Giant Citizen Kabuto. I bought Free Space nice. 2. I bought Earthworm Jim 1 and 2. And I also bought Painkiller Black Edition, which I hear is pretty cool, according to Yahtzee Croshaw. And mm-hmm. So I plan on checking those out. But other than that, that's all I've been playing. Also, on a quick aside, I finally started watching The Wire.
Oh, I've only ever seen the first season and a little bit of the second season.
Yeah,
but it's awesome.
Yeah, I think I'm about halfway through season one. I'm waiting for the other discs to come in, and I'm not going to say a whole lot about it because I'm really early on in it. But I have to say that calling the show a television show is an insult. It's so well done. It's so deep, and they actually cast real actors, not necessarily people that are good looking, you know, and,
some of the actors from that show were in the Kill Point that I was in. I hung out with them.
You were an extra in it. You were in it, please.
Michael McGlone and Michael, I forget her name. It's a woman whose name, Michael.
Oh.
I know they were in The Wire and I met them and hung out with them.
Cool. Cool. So, but yeah, it's really fantastic. At this point, I would almost suggest that this would be something that you would want to show student filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
It, as far as telling a story with that you, it, and it's a very workmanlike quality in the way it's shot. There's nothing fancy about it whatsoever, but it's absolutely simple to follow. Like you can tell that shots were set up to show you certain things, and you know there wasn't any tricky camera work or anything like that. And the dialogue is so smartly written and is so tight. Unfortunately, I think that it would also intimidate a lot of student filmmakers because it's just so well done. And you know,
the guy who wrote it, my understanding is that he's a former Baltimore police officer.
Yeah, and he worked the beat for I believe 15 years or something like that before he did the show. So it's really fantastic. I didn't want to wait any longer. I was going to wait and watch it, you know, later on, but I'm glad I started it, and I'm pretty stoked to see it. And actually, Beige is planning on watching it too, and he hasn't yet. So it was actually George who convinced me to finally pick it up. So probably one of the things we were talking about is when the site goes live with the blogging functionality, we'll probably do a little thread about The Wire and just kind of nice. Do some writing over it. But it's really solid. So if you're out there and anyone's at all remotely interested in a really solid crime series, you got to pick it up. And according to George, if you are going to watch The Wire, but you have other shows that you're meaning to get around to first, watch those first, because The Wire will ruin them for you. Yeah. Mm. Oh, but that's right, it. I'm done yapping.
All right, Pete, what you got?
I've been playing two things mainly this week. I've been playing Persona 4, which I know most of us here are playing through at the moment, aren't we? Is that right?
Well, I am, yeah. I've taken a break
from
Resident Evil 4, 5 and now MLB the Show.
Yeah, I had to take a break because the missus is on a ladies' retreat, and so she's my Persona 4 buddy, so I can't really pick it back up until she gets back in this weekend.
Yeah, cool.
No, someday I'll find a Persona 4 buddy.
No, I'm really enjoying it so far. Whenever I start a new game in the same series, I always wonder if I'm going to get on with the characters as well as I did in the previous one. But
I had the same thing. Yeah,
yeah, but the cast in this one is just so good that I've been really, really pleased with it so far.
I like this cast better, actually. I was kind of surprised I did, but I do.
Yeah, I think I do, if anything, as well. But one thing I do like is that they seem to have made it even more, for want of a better word, mature than Persona 3 as well. There's a lot of sort of sexual themes in it now as well that I think's quite interesting.
Yeah, I saw that boss battle.
Yeah.
Everyone who's played the game knows what I'm talking.
Hold me!
It's kind of weird how they do that whole dungeon, and it's very clear what they're doing, but they don't really come out and ever say it. And even afterwards, there's a lot of times where they basically want to say, hey, we think Kanji's gay, but they never really do. It's like they still kind of want to dance around the issue a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of one thing we said when we talked about it on the Squadcast a little while back, is that the way the kids' dialogue is written is very realistic. They talk like kids, so they're uncomfortable about things that kids are uncomfortable about. They swear like kids. They talk about stuff. And, yeah, they're a little bit uncomfortable around the fact that their friend may or may not be gay. So there's... Have you all done the bit with the school camp out?
Yes.
Oh yeah,
I did.
Yeah. Yep.
There's
a wonderfully uncomfortable
spoiler alert. Yes.
Yeah. There's a wonderfully uncomfortable scene in that, which I thought was great, where Kanji just comes into their tent and he's just going, "Are we going to be safe around you?" Just thought that was.
Oh man.
Yeah,
I'm intrigued.
But yeah, I really like what they've done with that so far. The other thing I've been playing is City of Villains as well.
Oh right.
Do tell.
Which came out for Mac recently as well. So that's kind of inspired me to start playing that a bit again. I'm really enjoying that as well. I mean, it's the MMO I've probably gone back to the most. Even more than World of Warcraft as well, just because I like the setting in it. I like the way that they've handled things. It's not like a lot of other RPGs. You don't have to go and get all your equipment and stuff like that. And over time, they have they've added a lot of new material to it as well. I first played it shortly after it originally came out, and it was a very simple game then. It was very much go in and fight a few bad guys and stuff like that. But over time, they've added more and more new stuff to it that's been really interesting. Like now, they've got things like they've got a sort of crafting system, but not like a WoW kind of crafting system. There's an auction house, but the thing I'm really excited about is the next update that they're adding, which is called Architect, where players in the game are going to be able to write their own missions and story arcs for it, including designing the villains and the boss characters for it as well. And then those missions you'll be able to play through, just like their regular missions in the game. You'll be able to get experience for them, and you'll be able to rate those missions as well. So it's a big sort of community-led thing as well. So I think that's going to be...
I am really curious about that. I wonder how intricate it could really be.
Sounds a little Big Planet-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm interested to see how that turns out. It's apparently an open beta at the moment, but I haven't tried it yet.
I had a lot of fun with that game back when I played it, when it was just City of Heroes back in, like, 2004, I think. It's fun because it's really simple, but, like, ultimately, at the same time, it's so simple that sometimes you kind of wish there's a bit more to it, personally.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was fun. That's why I ultimately didn't stick with it.
Yeah. I think they've added enough to it over time to make it more of a complete game now. Like, there's all stuff like this. Several hundred of these badges to collect now, sort of achievement type things, and for a huge variety of things, not just killing a certain number of enemies. There's exploration ones where you have to find stuff, and there's things you can do with your group now, your super group, effectively your guild. You can build a base for them, and you can go and raid other people's bases and stuff like that. And it's a really interesting game now, I think, that's worth checking out if you haven't already. And they do a free 14-day trial without having to buy the client and stuff for it now, so it's worth checking out.
Cool.
So yeah, that's cool. Been taking up all my time this week.
Do they still have that sidekick system? Can I go on there and be your sidekick?
Yes, they do, actually. That's one thing I forgot to mention. It's a really nice way of getting around the level gap system.
Yeah. I'm not a jerk, AJ. I
wouldn't have to be. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
So,
you didn't say what you played.
No, I know. I'm gonna go now.
No, you don't get a turn this week.
F off.
All right.
Okay. Fine. So the big thing I played this week is The Pit, which is the Fallout 3 DLC that came out after a very troubled launch. I guess what happened on Tuesday is like a corrupted file somehow got put on Xbox Live, and it took them like a full day to fix it. So that was kind of a bummer. But it came out on Wednesday, and it's fine now. And it's really, really cool. I mean, particularly because I live in Pittsburgh, so it was kind of neat to like be playing this and look out the window and be like, huh, there it is. But, you know, it kicks off like the last DLC that you'll get the radio message. You find a guy, do a little bit, and then he takes you to Pittsburgh. And the Ustream just caught. I bet you my iPhone's battery is dead or something. I probably should have plugged it in.
That's okay.
No one's watching. Anyway, so you get to Pittsburgh. You walk across the 10th Street Bridge, which I drive across practically every day, and you see the city skyline of Pittsburgh in complete ruins, which is really cool looking, and they really nailed that part. Other than that, though, there's really not a lot of specifics of the city of Pittsburgh in the game that I've noticed. There is one building that – I forget the name of it, but my friends and I figure it's kind of this big building off of Grant Street that I forget the name of, but that's kind of like where the Raiders are stationed. But you don't go to like Mellon Arena or Heinz Field or Duquesne University or anything like that, which I guess, I mean, I don't know what I was expecting. It is a 2-month long development cycle and some DLC, so that's to be expected. But it really has kind of the flavor, right, of Pittsburgh. And like, it's cool because Operation Anchorage felt so different from the main game because it was, you know, set in like the snowy, like, waste of Alaska. And this game has this kind of real neat, dirty, grimy, kind of yellow, hazy feel to it that really makes you feel like you're in like the steel mills and everything. And if you didn't like the fact that Operation Anchorage is so much like a shooter, this game is more like the kind of classic Fallout 3 gameplay that made the game so good, where you're going through a bigger world map with smaller areas. There's fast traveling and, you know, different factions and NPCs to talk to, and, you know, plays like Fallout. They introduced a new enemy type. They're called Trogs. Kind of imagined going up against like an army of golems, and that's what you got, and they're really cool. Like I hit this one really awesome moment with the VAT system, where one started to leap at me in midair. I hit the VATS button, aimed a headshot, and took it out as it was coming at me, which the angle, the cameras and everything was really cool. So it's, I could see where people will complain that it's short. I wasn't bothered by it. I mean, I beat it in a sitting. Granted, it was like a 4-hour sitting, but there's a ton of replay because there is actually a very interesting moral choice where I know it's the cliche, but this one actually made me take a while to think about because there really wasn't a clear right or wrong to it, which I thought was really cool. And also there was one really cool kind of Pittsburgh inside joke that I will now explain to you all. There's a NPC who comes up to you who's one of the Raiders. Her name's Lulu. So she starts talking to you about whatever. And I guess, like, she's in charge of, like, food for the Raiders. So she asks you if you want some food. So I'm like, yeah, sure. So, you know, like, it says in the top left, you receive 3 noodles. And I start walking away. And I remember there's a restaurant by the University of Pittsburgh that's very popular with students called Lulu's Noodles. And like it dawned on me all of a sudden. All of a sudden, I'm like, look at those noodles. That's amazing.
Nice.
I immediately like Twittered it because I felt compelled, and I was like, yeah, they got it. So that was really cool. If you like Fallout, I highly recommend it. It's really good.
So
I also
I have a question about the Fallout DLC. I'm gonna go back into the game once the package comes out. I think it's only for the PC where you can actually create your own dialogue trees. Do you know when that's going to be coming out?
I think it is out, isn't it?
Is it
the what's it called?
The Gek or
is the Gek? Yeah, the Gek. It's out.
Is it?
I don't know if it. I think it does like things where you could do conversation trees and everything.
I'll have to check that out because that's something that I really want to see. Because I think that at that point we'll really see, you know, little mods come out that are very, you know, reminiscent of earlier Fallout games if people are able to make their own dialogue. Right. So.
Let's see. Also this week, I played the demo for Wallace and Gromit that just came out this week.
Oh, what'd you think?
It's awesome. They, like, completely nailed Wallace and Gromit. Like, there's one point in the demo where you're in, like, kind of like a high-speed chase in a van with a giant bumblebee. But, like, just everything about it felt completely right. And I know if you get it this week, it's like $30 for all four episodes on Steam.
Hmm.
So, unfortunately, I kind of have a lot of games to play right now and not a lot of money to spend.
Yeah.
So I'll probably have to wait on it for a little bit. But it's definitely worth checking out. I also, two quick demos I want to mention. I played the Wanted Weapons of Fate demo, which it's probably in a very similar vein to 50 Cent, where it just kind of takes Gears of War 2 and does a few neat things with it. And that's really it, but it's solid nonetheless. I feel like if both those games were $40, they'd be a lot better off.
Can you curve the bullet?
You do curve the bullet, and curving the bullet's a lot of fun.
Yeah, However, does the game have little posters of the protagonist all over the levels that you can find and get bonus points for?
No.
Ooh.
See, yeah.
50 Cent wins.
I forgot to mention that. That's hot. That's part of the reason why the game's so awesome.
Let's see. And then also, out of nowhere, I decided to try the Ninja Blade demo.
Oh.
And found a strangely compelling game in there. I mean, it's kind of like Ninja Gaiden Light. It has a lot of QTEs, but they're really over the top, so it makes them really fun to watch.
Huh.
And I don't know. Try the demo. I was pleasantly surprised by it. I'm not going to rush out and buy it, but maybe I'd see it on Bargain Bin someday. I'd pick it up.
Hmm. Well, you done then?
And that's going to do it for me.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to the game releases. So you're going to talk about the downloadable game releases first, wherever the hell you hid them.
It's hit the tab.
There you go.
Okay. All right. On WiiWare, we have a game called Pop 'em, Drop 'em, Same Game, which is a telling title.
All right.
It's some kind of puzzle game.
Let's move on.
On the virtual console, Bomberman 94, excuse me.
Bomberman 64.
Yeah. Bomberman 94 for the TurboGrafx, in case 93 wasn't good enough for you, and which I own. And Daytona Twin B for the TurboGrafx, which is a vertical shooter. Because there's not enough of those.
Hmm.
On Xbox Live Arcade, Uno Rush was released. Did anyone play that? I didn't play the trial yet.
No.
What makes it different from Uno?
I don't know. I like Uno. On PlayStation Network and the PlayStation 3, two games, Burn Zombie Burn, I have no idea what that is, and Worms was released on the PS3, so that's cool. On the PSP, we got a game called Platypus. Again, no idea. And then goodoldgames.com, first there was Cannon Fodder.
Uh-huh.
And Alien Nations.
Uh-huh.
And then this week they announced Ubisoft as one of their new partners. So they released Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, IL-2 Sturmovik 1946, and Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah.
Hey.
Very nice. That's a pretty big coup for good old games. And yes, and
I agree.
The really cool thing that I need to mention is this weekend Steam is having this sale where if you spend $10 you get a lot of those games in one fell swoop. However, if you buy Beyond Good and Evil for $10 at Good Old Games, you get the soundtrack.
Ooh.
And that, to me, makes the deal much more appealing. Because the other three games that are in that package, I wouldn't play. It's like Dark Messiah, Heroes of Might and Magic, the first Far Cry, and IL-2, Sturmovik.
Yeah.
I would never play those three games. So, so I would say go with the Good Old Games option.
All right, well, let's get on to the retail game releases. We had Pokemon Platinum come out this week, sort of leading off everything. Then the aforementioned Wanted Weapons of Fate for 360 and PS3.
And PC.
Oh, The Last Remnant got released on PC, and apparently it's much better on the PC than it was on consoles. Legends of WrestleMania came out for PS3 and Xbox 360. Stormrise for PC, 360, and PS3. What's Stormrise?
Post-apocalyptic real-time strategy game from the makers of Total War.
All right. Dark Sector.
I never heard of that.
Dark Sector saw a PC release. Wheelman came out for the 360 and PS3. Wheelman. What's Wheelman?
It's the new Vin Diesel game. It's supposed to be decent. That's the next demo I gotta try.
That dude is everywhere, man. He's got...
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, he's got Chronicles of Riddick coming out again, and he's on Fast and Furious. He's making his little comeback, I guess.
He was also on TV here the other night inhaling helium, which is one of the funniest things I've seen for a long time.
I have to say that.
Nice.
Ultimate Ninja 4 Naruto Shippuden.
The PS2?
All right, whatever.
All right.
Wolfman also came out for the PC. Battle Forge came out for the PC. Crystal Chronicles, you know, Final Fantasy. Echoes of Time for the Wii and DS, which I'm sort of interested in.
If you're going to get a DS game, get this.
I want you to get one, too.
I'll get it.
Okay.
All right.
But I don't have money. But we'll get it at some point. Monsters vs. Aliens for PC, 360, Wii, DS, PS2, PS3, every platform imaginable. Command & Conquer, Red Alert 3, finally saw a PS3 release. And Tenchu Shadow Assassins for the PSP.
Woo-hoo!
All right. All right. That kind of brings us to the end, guys.
Oh, my God. Holy epic show.
Ah, yes, indeed. Very, very nice. Well, first off, I just want to say that also make sure that you see the newest Squadcast. It was our Eternal Darkness episode.
Yes, with some very, very cool sanity effects put in by Mr. Davison over here.
Yes, indeed. It was a lot of fun.
Yes,
that like made my week.
Yeah, say no more. No spoilers.
Yeah, but no, yes. No spoilers, but it was good stuff. So make sure you listen to that show because that was very well done. We're also voting for our next mission pretty soon. We don't really have the poll up on SquadronShame.com yet, but I imagine
it's coming.
Yeah, everybody can think about it. I mean, there's three games that are up for voting. It's going to be Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, Deathgate, and Gabriel Knight, Sins of the Fathers. So can chew on that. Those are some pretty good choices. I'm going to make a prediction that Gabriel Knight's probably going to take it. But we'll see.
I don't, Fate of Atlantis might be the surprise winner.
That could be. I think it's largely going to be between those two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, geez, I guess
that brings us to the end.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on here.
Yes. Yeah, anytime, guys.
Thank God you were both on vacation this week.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But yeah, thanks for having us on, guys. I was really
thanks.
I was excited to be on a show that I don't have to freaking host for a change, you know? It's very nice. And any other Friday that I have off, I'll be sure to join you guys again.
Yeah, excellent.
Yes, definitely. Definitely need both of you back on.
Cool.
This was a lot of fun. God, I don't know if I laughed so much during a podcast before. Especially early on there. Oh, God.
Mission accomplished.
There we go. Yes. Well, and also I think next week we'll have Reg, Regulus back on.
Yeah, to give us some GDC.
He was supposed to be on here this week, but due to faults of my own that didn't
get. Oh, it was some technical hang-up. I mean, even if he was able to Skype in, his connection quality didn't sound very good at all.
Yeah,
my fault.
It's pretty bad.
But he was at GDC, so he can talk to us a little bit about that next week.
He's there right now.
He's still there. So, well, everyone, from the entire squadron.
You want to give, like, our info?
I'm going to.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm segueing into.
No, it sounded like you were about to say goodbye.
No, I'm saying, thanks for listening. You can find us at SquadronOfShame.com and still at our old site at ExplodingBarrel.wordpress.com. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Twitter.com/ExplodingBarrel, and you can find us on the iTunes Music Store. You can contact me at TolKoto@SquadronOfShame.com.
AjGuy@SquadronOfShame.com, and our Twitters are the same, AjGuy and TolKoto.
Yeah, how about you guys? Want to give out any contact info?
Yeah, sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Twitter.com/AngryJedi. And you can read my blog if you want to at angryjedi.wordpress.com. And I'm just going to check what my Squadron of Shame email address actually is. Might help, won't it?
Pretty sure it's just Angry Jedi.
Yeah, it is angryjedi@squadronofshame.com if you want to get in touch with me.
Rock?
Okay, my turn. Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/ROCGAUDE. That's Rock God. You can send me an email at rock@squadronofshame.com. That's ROC. And if you like, I've been blogging from time to time on alternatecourse.com. And which is going to be the home of my blog until the SOS page goes live with blogging functionality. Then I'm more than likely move it all over there. So,
right,
excellent.
All right, everyone. So then, from the entire Squadron of Shame, thanks for listening. Have a good day. Bye.
Au revoir. Bye.
Hey.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, and I have no fucking idea what the date is.
Why don't you ever think to look at that before we start? There it is.
Okay.
You're a mess. Okay. Right, get it okay. together. Leave that in. Okay. That one stands.
Put it in at the very end of the show.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
A blooper.